Greetings to the brightest audiences. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, I want to talk just briefly about Saudi Arabia punishing a female victim of a gang rape with 200 lashes. Just absolutely despicable of what their Wahhabism does out there. And also, one of our intelligence officers in the U.S. government is saying privacy. It sounds like he's quoting Bob Enyart Live. He's saying our privacy rights does not mean anonymity. There is no right to anonymity. Where have you heard that for the last 15 years? We've talked about that here on Bob Enyart Live, and he is right. And I know there are a lot of paranoid conservatives who want to be anonymous, but just get a grip. Think about the men who risked life and their fortunes by signing their names to the Declaration of Independence, and try not to hide behind anonymity as some supposed supreme right. There is no right to anonymity. Talk about that. And also, wow, a lot of neat things going on. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to do three interviews. I was interviewed, and we recorded them. We always record interviews so that when they if they run a story later, they can't take you out of context or misquote you without having it come back to them. So had some interesting interviews about Colorado's personhood effort, because I'm involved with Colorado Right to Life, and, of course, the media likes to call Colorado Right to Life to find out about abortion issues in our state. So I got to – I was interviewed by – a reporter at the Rocky Mountain News, at LA Times, and at Time Magazine. And we pray that those reporters will do a reasonable job in getting the story straight. And they wanted to ask about, basically, the implication was, isn't it a little bit silly to protect a frozen embryo, for example? I mean, it's just a speck. You can't even see it. You need a microscope. It's just a frozen embryo. You're going to call that a person? So I told them about the snowflake babies, and you could go on the internet and Google the snowflake children, snowflake babies. There are over 100 beautiful children who were frozen embryos who were adopted. These frozen embryos were adopted and planted in women, and it turns out, guess what? We didn't have to insert any magic, nothing mystical. You don't kill these kids. You give them the opportunity to grow in a nurturing environment with food and nutrients and water, and you see what beautiful children they are. What a wonderful photo album on the internet with these snowflake kids. Over 100 children born now adopted as frozen embryos. So you say it's just a frozen embryo? What is that? You don't know what it is? You can't see it? Well, look at these kids, and you'll find out that they are beautiful children, boys and girls, made in God's image and likeness. Okay, so that's some of what we want to talk about today. Oh, and what a call from a local pastor here in the Denver area. And he thanked us for the Focus on the Strategy 2 DVD. He had just seen it, and he ordered 50 copies for his church. He says they have a congregation of about 200 people. And so we'll be sending out 50 more copies of Focus on the Strategy 2. If you haven't seen it, I think you owe it to yourself to watch this on Pro-Life Strategy, How to Stop Abortion. And then if you disagree, you don't like it, we'll give you your money back. No problem. Just call us at 1-800-8-ENYART. And to talk about any of these issues or to ask for our catalog, you can go to our store, kgov.com on the internet, kgov.com, or call us at 1-800-836-9278 right now to get on the air or any time to ask for some of our Bible resources. Now let's go to the phones. Wow, this is up in the mountains in Evergreen. What an honor. Is this director of the Mountain Area Pregnancy Center? Mark English. Mark, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. I'm not the director. I'm on the board of directors.
You're on the board of directors.
We do have a wonderful director named Jill who really is dedicated to the cause.
Well, isn't that neat? And Brian Rohrbaugh, if I recall, spoke at your annual banquet.
It was just amazing. You know, we thought he was going to speak mostly about Colorado Right to Life, but he gave a personal testimony of his personal experience when his son was born. And it was just so powerful. You could hear like a pin drop in the whole room. It was just It just, you know, such a, it was so, at the same time we were so full of joy, but then so full of sadness at the same time.
Of course.
I don't know if you can relate to that.
Mark, you know why I can? There's only one reason, because I have heard Brian share that same story, and that has not been shared publicly. Are you still there, Mark?
Sure.
Okay. That has not been shared publicly. We're having some phone problems here, but we'll get those fixed in a second. That story has not been shared publicly on this radio show, through the media. That's never been shared, so we won't talk about the details right now. Of course, we won't. But it was just to honor God through the most difficult circumstances of life is so encouraging to others to hear that we can do that. We can honor God regardless of the circumstances.
And, you know, my wife and I, we do have a retarded daughter that has Down syndrome, and it was so powerful to us because the day she was born at Rose Medical, the first thing they did was come into the room and said, do you want to dehydrate this child to death or do you want it to starve her to death?
Oh, my. That was at Rose Medical just off University
right,
in Denver.
It was 16 years ago, by the way. And that's why when you started speaking about the personhood of every human child, it really struck a chord with us because even though this child was born and even though she was there in the incubator, they treated her almost as like she wasn't even a person, like she was a bug to just, you know, we're going to just squash it or something and move on. And,
were
just so disheartened. And, you know, we just realized where America had gone and how far we had gone.
Oh, what a devastation. And then, of course, 4-year-old Dylan Walborn, Denver Children's Hospital recommended to his parents that they kill him by starving him to death. They did. The Denver Post documented 24 days of starvation of Dylan Walborn until he finally died. And that's on the internet at dylanwalborn.com.
Yeah, if that's such a such a nice way to die, then I don't know why they're not starving the people instead of giving them injections in the prisons.
Yeah, right. That would be inhumane, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but we also had another tragedy, with one of our daughters, and it just, you know, brought this in such sharp focus, and we were really having kind of a crisis of faith when that happened. And I did buy your book, The Plot, you know, because we were really trying to give meaning to the Christian, to the Bible. I mean, unlike you, I mean, I have a computer engineering background, and I always was able to picture in my mind, almost like if you're going to travel from San Diego to Bangor, Maine, you just have a picture of the map in your mind.
Right.
And I could always understand things by seeing the big picture. But when it came to the Bible, I just couldn't get that big picture in my mind.
Hey, Mark, it's as though there's just hundreds of discrete, unattached verses and stories.
Oh, amen to that.
But what is the big picture of the Bible? And that's what, sadly, is so often not taught. And so people have a hard time fitting it all together, and there's mass confusion, of course.
And then when you spoke about, you know, the Spirit and understanding the relationship with God and how you just had to let go in faith, and you were just talking, you know, about how you just have to have, you know, it's this faith relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so moving to us, you know, and it just kind of, it was just a godsend. Honestly, it was a godsend.
My call screener here has a note underneath your name, and it says you underlined The Plot. What does that mean? You underlined?
What I did was, you know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I think I'm probably about your age. And every time I would study a book, I would underline or highlight everything.
I do the same thing.
But it got to the point where I had underlined and highlighted almost every single line and every single word, that instead of going back and reading
the underlined,
I had to read the whole book again. But it was really...
Mark, that's quite an endorsement, and I'm thrilled. Yeah,
I would absolutely recommend it, especially someone who's kind of stagnated in their Christian walk, somebody who really wants to get to really feel the fire of the Christian walk.
Hmm. Let me give one example. We won't talk through the plot. It's a 300-page manuscript. But by the way, we're going to start offering it December 1st in a bound edition. We've never done that. It's been a manuscript. It'll be bound as of December 1st, and maybe some people will get it or give it for Christmas. But, Mark, one example, many Christians, millions, believe we're already forgiven by God, as a Christian, we're forgiven of all our sins, past, present, and future. We're forgiven. We're saved, sealed with the Holy Spirit. But then when they do sin, when they give in to temptation, one of the first things they do is ask God to forgive them. And that seems to be a disconnect. If you're already forgiven, why are you asking to be forgiven? And it turns out that as the Apostle Paul is teaching the gospel of grace, that we are to live by grace, we're not only saved by grace, but we live by grace, he teaches that we are already forgiven in Christ. Not that we need to be forgiven, but that we are already forgiven. And so that's a crucial issue to help people live out their Christianity, because otherwise you feel like every other moment, every other day, that God is against you, that he has something against you. And as a believer in Christ, you are forgiven and identified with Christ.
But like so many things, Bob, you know, it's one thing to understand what something says, but to understand how to do it, that's, you know, that was
right.
That's the hard part, is to really understand, how do I actually do this on a day-to-day business, day-to-day, without becoming a legalist, setting up a group of rules to follow and just say, oh, okay, I did A, B, C, and D, so therefore I'm okay.
Exactly, Mark. And that's one reason we put together the Tree Seminar. We have a CD, 5 hours Bible teaching, walking Christians through circumstance after circumstance, all kinds of environments where we are tempted as Christians to fall into the flesh, to give into the world, versus what it means at those moments. How do I resist temptation? How do I trust Christ? How do I walk by the Spirit, in the Spirit, at those moments? We call that the tree, because the whole problem started at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what a fascinating story that is in Scripture.
And you traced it all the way through, too, right through you know, the Bible, you know, the part where the tree was destroyed.
Yes.
And I was, you know, just amazed, because I had, you know, read those passages, of course, many times, but I just never really put them together.
Isn't it fascinating? Whatever happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The Bible says clearly what happened to the tree of life. Well, what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The Bible tells us, although it's tend to people gloss over it. They don't know what to make of it. So it's just such an exciting Bible study. The tree, which is a part of our Plot Bible study series and the Plot book.
And, of course, you know, it also, you know, enforces the fact that the Bible just fits together like cogs in a wheel, like a Swiss watch. I mean, everything is kind of related once you stand back and you can see the larger picture.
So, Mark English, you're a director with Mountain Area Crisis Pregnancy Center. That's up in Evergreen. And so you guys are in this fight against abortion. I'm so thrilled you are. It's one of the passions we have. Every Christian, of course, should be moved to have love for their neighbor, including the kids who are being killed.
And we so much appreciate all the work you've done. I know you've taken the lead on this, you and Brian and the folks at the Colorado Right to Life, and you know, I just got to say that you are appreciated. Sometimes the work may be getting kind of frustrating, and you might just feel like you're unwanted, or especially dealing with the media. I mean, they're really great at ad hominems and everything. But you know, you are appreciated, and we do want to stand with you, and we do appreciate you taking the lead.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. May God bless you.
God bless you too. I appreciate you.
What an honor to hear from a director of Mountain Area Crisis Pregnancy Center. And it's when I made that 5-state whirlwind tour back a couple months ago through the Midwest and spoke with Crisis Pregnancy Center officials at a church that they had never heard of Bob Inert Live. They saw the Focus on the Strategy DVD as part of the presentation. They were stunned and said they're going to do everything they can to oppose child-killing regulations and to support personhood and the God-given right to life of the unborn. Wow. Okay, well, today, out at the site where the Weitz Corporation is building the largest abortion facility in the country for Planned Parenthood, a local pro-lifer was there, and he noticed a subcontractor's truck. And it's a truck from a company called Rocky Mountain Mechanical Systems. And he immediately alerted Will Duffy, who's heading up this effort against the construction of the new Planned Parenthood facility at 38th and Pontiac, right off of Quebec by the old Denver Stapleton Airport. And he said, well, Haynes Mechanical Systems, they quit when they found out this was an abortion clinic. And White's Corporation says in the Denver Post, they said they're telling all their workers they're working on an abortion facility. Haynes said they weren't working on an abortion facility. They thought they were working for United Airlines. Because White's, Planned Parenthood, when these construction permits were filed with the Denver City and County, they misrepresented the responsible party as United Airlines, of all things. And so it turns out that subcontractors are being lied to, and Gary Megason of the White's Corporation says, we're telling our workers that they're working on an abortion clinic. So we got this call. Will Duffy got this call. So Haynes quit. Haynes Mechanical Systems quit when they found out it was an abortion clinic. They were lied to, and now there's a truck here from Rocky Mountain Mechanical Systems. So I went to the Colorado Secretary of State's website, found out who the president was of Rocky Mountain, Bruce Byrd, and gave them a call. And so we have that ready. Okay, it's just a few minutes, and we're trying to find out. You know, not everybody's against abortion, tragically. They think killing kids is okay. But one of the things we want to find out is, were they told by whites that this was an abortion facility? So let's hear this call from just an hour before showtime.
Rocky Mount Mechanical, this is Dina. How may I help you?
Hi, is Bruce still the president?
Yes.
Could I speak to him?
Hold on, please.
Thanks.
Here he is. Hold on, please.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello?
Hello, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Inyard of Denver Bible Church.
Mm-hmm.
We're calling about, we've been talking with Haynes Mechanical Systems over the last few weeks. We're calling about the property on 30th Ave in Pontiac you guys are working at. This project has been in the news quite a bit, and Haynes pulled out when they realized they were not working for United Airlines, but it's an abortion clinic that's being built.
Oh.
Were you guys familiar with that? We, the White's Corporation has been working with Planned Parenthood. They set up a Fuller 38, and a number of their contractors have been misled to believe they were working for a flight training center for United Airlines, and it's been reported now in the media that the construction permits down at the Denver City and County building were misrepresented as being done for United Airlines. And so we're calling because we're very concerned about that neighborhood being turned into a virtual war zone, which happens to neighborhoods when abortion clinics go in. And we're very concerned, and we're hoping that you guys would consider this information.
Well, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
At you guys are working at 7155 East 38th Ave.
I'm not sure of that, but well, go ahead.
You are. We have people right there. We've got, in fact, right now today, even photographs with one of your vehicles there.
Yeah.
And the White's Corporation is the general contractor, mm-hmm. and they're building the largest abortion facility in the country there for the Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary Megason, senior VP at White's, was quoted in the Denver Post saying that they've been open with all their workers that they're working on an abortion clinic. And what
you mean it's a Planned Parenthood facility?
It is. Planned Parenthood purchased that property, the entire city block, back on January 11th, 2007, from United Airlines.
Oh, okay.
And so, yes, this is a Planned Parenthood facility.
Okay, so what are you asking me to do?
We're asking you guys to reconsider to not be involved in the building of the country's largest abortion facility because of all the, over the coming years, all the kids that will be killed at that facility.
Okay, so what is the name of your company or your group?
Well, I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church,
mm-hmm.
and I've done a daily talk radio show for 16 years here in Colorado. And this, Weitz, has been in the news not only in Colorado but around the country over the past few weeks. The Archdiocese of Denver, the Archbishop, issued a statement about Weitz just a few days ago, asking Weitz to not continue constructing this abortion facility.
So what you're asking me to do is to pull off of a job that we've contracted on?
Yes, Bruce.
Well, don't you see the other side of what Planned Parenthood does in regards to preventing unneeded pregnancies?
Well, they are the nation's number one abortion provider. They kill.
And if I don't, what are you going to do?
Well, we do everything we can to try to show people that killing of children is immoral.
Okay, but are you telling me that you're going to put out bad press about my company?
If we're
doing that based on the fact that we didn't know that going into it?
No, this is a great opportunity for you to find out, Bruce, and to reconsider. You know, hopefully you'll not want to be manipulated into. You know, the companies that built the concentration camps in Germany, today they're not proud of that. And this is becoming a very significant event on the Internet and in the media. And for you not to have been told about this is pretty manipulative by Megason. And so there's a group, Colorado Families Against Planned Parenthood, and they're doing everything they can to interact with the subcontractors to ask them to reconsider and to pull out. And so they've asked me to be the first, you know, the first contact to beg you to reconsider this.
Well, are you part of the Catholic Church?
No, I'm not.
Okay. And what is
Denver Bible Church? It's a non-denominational Protestant church.
I don't know if that might be a tremendous financial impact if that was the case, and we've already signed a contract with them. We would probably get sued.
You would not be sued. Haynes pulled out. Gary Megason has said publicly, it's in the Denver Post, that they're giving everyone the opportunity to look at the moral issue and pull out. And there's no way Weitz or their client, Planned Parenthood, would sue any subcontractor for pulling out.
I guess that's something I'll have to look at.
That would be, we're praying, Bruce, that you will. And okay. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
May God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. It was Rocky Mountain News that quoted Gary Megason, senior vice president of the Weitz Company, saying that they are being upfront with all their workers. It's astounding, really. Have we found one worker yet who was told that they're working on a child-killing facility? Weitz is lying to everybody as best as we can tell. So Gary Megason, senior vice president of Weitz, seems like he's a liar. And I don't know, perhaps we've misunderstood him when he said he's telling all his workers. Maybe he just means his immediate employees of Weitz, but they think subcontractors could be mistreated. And they don't care about subcontractors and the moral and spiritual concerns and well-being of their subcontractors. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they treat their subcontractors like dirt. Maybe that's what Weitz does. But I am thankful that Bruce Byrd let us know again that apparently they were misled also. When I asked him if he knew that facility there was an abortion clinic, he said, oh. And then a few minutes later, he said, well, will you hold this against us if we didn't know that going into it? Well, of course not. Absolutely not. And I pointed out, you don't want, he said, what do? We have a contract. I said, you don't want to be manipulated by Gary Megason and the Weitz Corporation. And he said, yeah, it was under his breath, but, you know, quiet, but he said, yeah. So, and he said, they're going to consider. We asked them to consider. He said they'd consider. And we pray that Rocky Mountain Mechanical Systems considers, that Bruce Byrd considers, that this is an abortion facility. And do you know that if Planned Parenthood fed every starving person in the world, it would not justify killing a single innocent child? So no matter how altruistic you think they are in their other work, when they're not killing innocent kids, God doesn't have a scale in heaven. And he doesn't say, okay, how many hungry people did you feed, and how many women did you rape, and how many kids did you kill? Oh, you fed more hungry people than the women you raped and the kids that you killed. Okay, well, you're okay with me. That's not how righteousness works. When somebody commits a crime against you or your kids or your grandkids, you don't say, well, how many old women did he help walk across the street? It's not relevant. It's not relevant. I don't get carte blanche to go commit crimes against other people because I've helped a lot of people when they're struggling with alcoholism or drug addiction or addiction to pornography or difficulty in their marriage. So all that counseling, all the help, leading homosexuals to the Lord, none of that, that doesn't all add up. And it says, okay, then I could go kill innocent people and get away with it. So, but that's apparently what the media and the public relations effort of Planned Parenthood has done. It's clouded people's thinking, oh, Planned Parenthood does all these good things. Planned Parenthood is the enemy. Planned Parenthood is the enemy. Planned Parenthood is the enemy. All right, so what else do we have? We have the local Denver pastor of a messianic church, by the way, who ordered 50 copies of Focus on the Strategy 2. Lord willing, that order will be going out today. On the internet, we have priced these to sell. We have 20 copies for $100 at our store at KGOV, KGOV.com, so that pastors could order 20, 40, 50, 100 copies of the DVD, and we've had a handful of orders for 100 copies going out, and it's just thrilling to hear Mark English with Mountain Area Crisis Pregnancy Center and his love and support for not only Bob and Yurt Live, but also Colorado Right to Life and their effort at the forefront of the personhood wing of the pro-life movement and their opposition to the child-killing regulators. So, okay, what else do we have? Oh, wow. We have Greg Kokel. Remember Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason, STR.org? And he is a California Christian talk show host, pro-life, and he and I had a debate a few weeks ago now on Stu Epperson's nationally syndicated radio show. It was a one-hour debate, and he's actually advocating that it honors God if we vote for a pro-abortion candidate if the other candidate is just as bad or worse. And so God's command, do not murder, Greg Kokel was saying, well, there are other considerations. So during the debate, I called him a moral relativist and a legal positivist. So he did a program this past week on his radio show, it's on the internet, titled, Is Greg Kokel a Moral Relativist? And the whole show is about his debate with me, and we'll be talking about that in a future program. So thanks so much for tuning in. May God bless you. Come to Denver Bible Church this week in Maranatha. What a great school.